Please go back there. He'll be all right. 4 and 5 year olds, come on down. My goodness, thank you, Lord, for all these wonderful children. They're still coming around. Oh, leave the monster truck here. Yeah, please. Okay, buddy. Love you too, buddy. Well, this morning we're going to be starting a little series of for about 4 weeks. Something's on my heart for quite some time. Not only do we serve a God of redemption, redeems, we serve a God of restoration. He restores every day, every minute of every day. So we're going to be looking through 4 weeks of different aspects of restoration. So I'm going to read Psalm 51. And this is an interesting psalm. And I'll get into that in a moment. But this is right after the psalmist, which is King David, had an encounter with Bathsheba. And for my Bible students out there, you know what this led to. It was not a pretty sight. The good thing about it is that David was sorry, truly contrite for what he had done. And some things happen when we sin. There's consequences. And sometimes for generations on down. So David truly had lost the joy of his salvation. That's interesting. New Old Testament, New Testament. I'm not going to get into all that. This is great conversation for the coffee pot, you know, the water cooler, they said. But let me read the psalm, and I'll ask everyone to stand on verse 12 out of respect for the message. That's where this is going to come from. Then we'll sit back down, and I'll finish reading all 19 verses. A sinner's prayer for pardon. Verse 1. Be gracious to me, O God, according to your loving kindness. According to the greatness of your compassion, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against you and you only I have sinned and done what is evil in your sight, so that you are justified when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part you will make me know wisdom. Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which you have broken rejoice. Hide your face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Stand for a moment. This is the verse today. Restore to me the joy of your salvation and sustain me with a willing spirit. Thank you. Please be seated. Oh my goodness. Isn't that awesome? We're not finished yet. And then I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners will be converted to you. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, the God of my salvation. Then my tongue will joyfully sing of your righteousness. O Lord, open my lips that my mouth may declare your praise. For you do not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. You are not pleased with burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit. A broken and a contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. By your favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem. Then you will delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on your altar. Thank you for your word, Father. Powerful. Thank you, Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen. Man, that preaches. Sometimes you just got to read the word. Agreed? But I got something else to say. It's a preacher, right? This is a psalm of confession. And you know, here's where we are in our society. I'm going to talk about the church. Frank Page, Southern Baptist leader for many years, resigned about 2 or 3 weeks ago out of a moral failure in his life from everything. He's out. He's done. Seminary leader, big, just a pillar of the Southern Baptist community. Moral failure. What does that mean? It must, I don't know. Doesn't matter. I don't need to know the specifics. I know too much already. Here's another one. I can give you the name, but I won't. This is a deacon that I used to work around in Lafayette. He was from another part of the state. He was arrested at Four Corners in Lafayette. Mona knows exactly where that's at. Do you know where that's at? Solicitation of a prostitute. The deacon in the church. We're talking about preacher, pastor, leader, deacon. I could go on. But you got the picture. Sin is running rampant in our nation and in our churches. And it's nothing new. It's nothing new. Here's the inside view of a man that wants to get right with God, though. That's where we're going to focus on. He wants to get right with God. Do we have a sin problem? Well, yeah, we do. And we will address it. And we will talk about it. We'll try to get... No, but he wants to get right with God. And this is the bearing. He bared his soul, his heart, after he had a failure in life. We've all had failures in life to some degree. But it's also a psalm of a king. He was a king. You know, and David was a leader. He was a leader politically. Some would claim that he would even preach to some degree on this. He had a platform to speak on. That's what this is about. See here, this is a platform to speak upon. It's very dangerous. It's very powerful. It's not about so much about the pulpit. It's about the platform upon which we speak. Don't put emphasis on the piece of wood. It's the platform that which we speak on. That's the pulpit. And he had a pulpit to speak on. He was a leader spiritually, and he was even a leader from a musician standpoint. What are the Psalms? Songs. 150 of them. Good night. That's a lot of lyrics to write. It is a psalm with which we can identify because we also fail in life. But I know this, that he is a God of restoration. He restores. So, but we're just going to focus on this one statement. This one statement. The restoration of a good man. So we're going to focus on something good. But we got to look at something. See, David, first of all, David had known the joy of salvation. Yeah, restore indicates that he once possessed it. But he lost it. Where did it go? I think it went away by the wayside of sin. Sin removes joy. It removed it. That's what it amounts to. And we search in the Psalms, and here's what we'll find this. Let me show you how he once possessed it. Psalm 9:1, he says, I will praise thee. Amen. Psalm 21:1, this is all David's words. He says, the king shall joy in thy strength. Psalm 23:5, my cup runneth over. In other words, God was pouring himself into David to where his cup was running over. That's incredible. He had known the joy of salvation. Psalm 34:1, he says, I will bless the Lord at all times. It's not going to go good. How much time should we spend in worship a week? We got to sleep. You got to eat. You got your vocation. You got to go earn a living. You want to find out more about that, what I believe and what I think about this? Come back tonight. Amen. The tent of meeting. What's that? Well, we're going to seek the face of God. For what are we going to do about Sunday evening worship? I'm going to tell you right now, it's still alive. It's not going to go away. But you may not like the outcome of where the Lord's been leading me from the scriptures of what to do with worship. Period. Is it just for 1 hour? Oh, that's going to hurt. I'm sorry. No, I'm not sorry. I don't apologize for the scriptures. I want to, but I can't. Come back tonight in the fellowship hall, unless there's too many. And we'll come back in here. Or do we come back in here? It doesn't matter. We're going to seek God's face of what he wants us to do as far as worship is concerned. As I've said it before, I'll say it again. I believe we fail miserably as a society, as a people of God, when it comes to worship. I'll prove it tonight. I'll prove it. So here we are. The search for the Psalms that reveals the truth, they are here. Here's where there's good reason for joy. Let me give you four good reasons for joy. Number one, the joy of forgiveness. Have you been forgiven? Oh my goodness, we ought to be leaping for joy because we've been forgiven. Because without forgiveness, what is there? Condemnation. There's the joy of the assurance of heaven. And that's good stuff there. That preaches. For those who believe, where is eternity? I believe it's in heaven. All my body, soul, being, whatever I got, it's going to be in heaven. And good grief, gold is going to be like blacktop. My boy in DOTD right there, he knows what I'm talking about, that old blacktop. That's what the gold, it's going to be something you walk on. Something we treasure so much here on earth, that's not going to be in heaven. The assurance of heaven, the joy of the presence of the Lord. What a glorious day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Oh, my goodness. And also the joy of finding the answer to life. Let me tell you something, kids. I'm going to talk to the youth a moment. You're under a lot of pressure right now. A lot of things going on in school, and you're hearing a lot of things. Let me tell you, there's a God. And he's real. Are you breathing? Where do you think that comes from? Do you think we just appeared out of nothing? That's what they'd have you believe, that you come from a paramecium or something, a single cell thing in the muck. You talk about evolution. Are you kidding me? The joy of knowing the answers to life. The Bible has them. God's got it figured out. He is real. He is real and he is alive. Here we are. The joy is available to you through the gospel. Second thing we're going to see today. David had lost the joy of his salvation. See, restore in the case that he does not have it right now. Agreed? It's not there right now. He's got a major problem in his life. That not only did the encounter with Bathsheba create some problems, he ended up with murdering her husband, and we got the baby that died, and we got others in his family that died. He had one of his, oh my goodness, it just kept going and going and going. But he's not all to blame. She has some of the blame too. That's another sermon for another day. What was she doing that time of the day? Exposing herself. Glory. No. See, even today, see, David has a lot of company. See, many are filled with gloom who once were filled with glory. Remember those glory days? You want them back? Oh, I have a way to get them back. It's biblical, by the way. Many are burdened who once were blessed. Many are burdened who once were blessed. Here's the deal. And I want to focus on who was there this past Thursday. We had a wonderful prayer gathering for our children and the schools and the teachers. Beautiful prayers, sang some wonderful songs for the Lord, praised him. I'm going to say this, no one, no deacon, no lady, no child, no one can ever discourage me from serving my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Nobody. Because if anything discourages me, then I've lost all hope. And ladies and gentlemen, my hope is not in people. My hope is in the Lord. But here's the thing. I'm going to be just like Jesus. Did his boys frustrate him sometimes? Oh, I can give you pages and pages of scripture that the disciples just frustrated him. How about disappointment? You see, I can have frustration and disappointment and not be discouraged. Because I know where my joy, my hope comes from. But here's what I want to do. I want to focus on who was there rather than call out who was not. But if we're not gathering to pray for these kinds of things en masse, God will bless what we did. It takes the prayer of one righteous person to availeth much. And I'm gonna hang my hat on that one. And where two or more are gathered in thy name, thou wilt be in thy midst and bless them. But ladies and gentlemen, the attendance was pitiful. And we wonder why we're in the shape we're in. Where's the joy of our salvation? Yeah, Mona's not even tapping her foot right now. She says, I'm going beyond that point. See, many are sour who once were filled with song. Goodness, listen. This is real. Many are sour today because they were once filled with song. David has a lot of company. And here's another one. Many are pouting who once were praising. We need to praise the Lord and worship him. He is the one true and ever-living God. I'm talking about openly praise him. The Bible says you can raise a hand in praise to the Lord. I won't throw anything at you. Not at all. But David and the story of his sin, it goes back to the affair with Bathsheba. Sin had robbed David of his joy. And we're talking about an affair, right? Does just telling a little lie qualify in the same category as sin with the father? Mm-hmm. All it takes is one little bitty thing. One of these days, I'm going to make some brownies for y'all. Whole church up here. But I'm going to go in the yard and I'm going to take a little spoon of something that animals leave behind. I'm going to mix it in. Just a little bit. Would that be okay? Would you still eat it? What? Sin matters. And it doesn't take a big one like we call it. All it takes is a little bitty stuff. And you won't have anything to do with that brownie. That's what it is. The song is gone. Many can remember a better day. My question is, do you remember those better days? Third thing we look at today, David had longed to have the joy of his salvation restored. And if you've lost your salvation, if you no longer have joy in your salvation, are you longing to have it restored? Because if you're not longing to have it restored, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. There's nothing the Word of God can do, can convict. See, restore was part of his prayer to get back what he had lost. And that's all I want us to do. I want us to have joy in our salvation, but we've got to get back what we lost. See, David prays for his joy to come back again. There's always a road back to where you once were. That's a scribbly note from this morning. Isn't there always a road? You might get lost along the road. Right, yeah, I never get lost, by the way. Okay, I did it. Maddie's laughing at. Okay, I lied. That's a sin. Okay. Granddaughter busted me here. And the consequences. I'm trying to make a point, Deacon. The point is, there's always a road back to where you were. And that's the encouragement that we're going to deal with. That's the joy, the finding. That's where you find our joy, is to come back to where we once were. You know, David prays for this. And what is the road back? There are three roads. I'm going to give you three roads on how to get back. It is a road of remembering. Do you remember those days when you were first saved? Well, I do. You mean my sins are forgiven? He remembereth no more. I'm covered in the blood. I'm righteous through his white robe. But here's the second road. This is the problem road. This is the real stumbling block. Is the road of confession. No. You see, confession, they say, is good for the soul. It is. Now, here's the thing. I really don't want to hear your stuff. That's not what this is about. It's about you confessing to the Lord and to those whom you have sinned against, possibly. If you've sinned against me, then I don't think that's the issue here. Then there's confession that needs to take place. I will help you get through some things, definitely. And whatever you tell me, as long as it's not illegal, or somebody's going to go to jail. If you want to tell me something like that, I'm going to tell you right now, don't tell me. Don't tell me. Because I'm not bound by those things as some denominations are. We're not here. But confession is the stumbling block. That's what restored David. It's a psalm of a contrite sinner. What does that mean? He was sorry and he confessed. He manned up. He did man up. It is also the third road, a road of faith. That's good stuff. A road of faith. So the question becomes, do you long for that joy once again? You know, if you do, that's great. Because I'm going to tell you something, you can have it. Yeah, you can have it. And here's where we end up. So what does this mean? What about me? How blessed are they whose transgressions are forgiven? Do you know that you're blessed? Are we acting like it? Are we worshiping like it? Are we serving like we're blessed because our transgressions have been forgiven? Or are we barely making it in for 1 hour on Sundays? I'm telling you, what the Bible has shown me. Come back tonight. And you hear it from the Word. Psalm 32. Let me read that one for you. You see, I'm going to give you another view of the same man. Another view of the same man in Psalm 32. And this is good stuff. This is forgiveness. How blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven. That's where I got it from, right? Psalm 32:1. How blessed is the man to whom the Lord does not impute iniquity, does not punish the iniquity. And in those in whose spirit there is no deceit, when I kept silent about my sin, my body wasted away through all my groaning all day long. For night and day, your hand was heavy upon me. You ever felt that? I have. I had to get right with the Lord sometimes too, you know. I'm not alone. You're not alone. For day and night, your hand was heavy upon me, he says. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I did not hide. Confession. Confession. And I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. That's what gets us down, is the guilt that we carry because of sin in our lives. Therefore, pay attention when you hear that word. There's something good coming. Let everyone who is godly pray to you in a time when you may be found. Surely, in a flood of great waters, there will not reach him. You are my hiding place. You preserve me from trouble. You surround me with songs of deliverance. I will instruct you and teach you in the way which you should go. I will counsel you with my eye upon you. Do not be as the horse or the mule, which have no understanding. That hurt. Whose trappings include bit and bridle to hold them in check. Otherwise, they will not come near you. Many are the sorrows of the wicked. But he who trusts in the Lord, loving kindness shall surround him. That's the Hebrew word kesed. That's an awesome. Be glad in the Lord. Here it is. And rejoice. You righteous ones. I like being called the righteous one. And shout for what? For joy. All you who are upright in heart. See, here's the encouragement to take home. We can all be restored. We can all be restored. See, revival will only happen when God's people turn from their wicked ways. That's 2 Chronicles 7:14. Preached it before. See, and not only is the God that we serve in the business of redemption, he is in the business of restoration. It's an ongoing thing. It never stops. Because last time I checked, we were all human. That's it. So let me help you. Let us help each other to get through life. And the joy of our salvation will return as we worship. There's a word, worship. It's not a one-time thing. As we worship the true and ever-living God. That's how we get our joy back, ladies and gentlemen. I just want us to be in a good place to do the Lord's work here at Spring Hill. And again, it doesn't take much to mess things up, does it? No. David was dealing with some big stuff here. There's consequences for generations on down. Truth be told, though, in God's eyes, sin is sin. We tend to classify them, don't we? All of it separates us from his fellowship. And when we lose our fellowship, we lose our joy. This is the time of invitation. We're about to sing a song. I'll say a prayer. This is the time. Let me clear some things up. Where if you're interested, if you're feeling drawn to, if you're feeling God moving you, your heart to join this congregation, this is the time to do it. This is the time to lay it all at the altar. And I'll feel strongly that when you can do it right where you are, I'm not saying that's not a bad thing, but boy, when you do it publicly, that's a whole other thing. And you can say, oh, we must be dealing with something. Yeah, well, so are you. Don't think coming down here that you're embarrassed, because guess what? They're dealing with stuff too. We all are. We all are. We lay it down here at the foot of the altar is what we call it, the feet of Jesus. So this is the time of invitation. If you don't know Jesus and want to get to know him, my goodness, that's the best decision that you could ever make in your life. The second best decision I ever made in my life was marrying this lovely lady. And she knows that. My best decision was to follow Jesus ever. And I'm a man, I stand before you and I tell you, I love Jesus. I love her too. I love my family. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you. Yes, it's been some strong words you put on my heart today. But the outcome is that we can all be restored. What a glorious thing that you could take us, Father, and just pick us up. You took David, you took him up off the ground and you dusted him off after he was sorry. Oh, Lord, if there's anyone sorry here today, just leave it on the altar. You got this, and that may their joy be restored. There's others may want to join this wonderful congregation that you've blessed me with, Father. We just want to serve you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. We want to worship you, Father. Thank you for what you've done here. You get all the credit, all the glory. Is yours. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.